We want to begin this seminar with something very important, something that I hope you will remember for many years to come. Let us now turn all of our classes over to divine consciousness, knowing its presence, surrendering to it, resting in the knowledge that here, now, divine consciousness is.
What we are doing
at this moment is acknowledging the presence of an intelligence, of a force, of a power, of a substance, of a reality that has no beginning and no end. We are stating within our own awareness that here, where we are gathered in oneness, there is a consciousness called the consciousness of God, present, living. It is not like our human consciousness. Humanly, we are aware of a room, a floor, people, the weather, the body. This is a human consciousness, and it has nothing to do with the divine consciousness. Divine consciousness is not aware of these things. Divine consciousness is not aware of your thoughts. If it were, it would enter into the thoughts of a criminal and prevent him from being one. It does not do this, because divine consciousness is not aware of human thought. Neither is human thought aware of what the thought is in the divine consciousness. And this is a separation. This is the fall. This is the departure from the house of the Father. Between divine consciousness and human consciousness, there is a partition. And the removal of this partition between the divine and the human consciousness may be called enlightenment. When the partition is removed, we are above mortal boundaries. We are above karma. We are above birth and death cycles. We are above human afflictions. We are above all of the pains and aches and limitations and the frailties of human nature. We are above living without direction and without specific purpose, without self-fulfillment. These are only fruits. These are the lesser fruits in a case, in some way. They are the effects, the mystery that we want to solve, the mystery that we are going to solve, is the cause of these fruits. To discover and release the cause of the fruits of enlightenment. And that mystery, the mystery of all mysteries is summed up in the one word, infinity. We generally live without it, unaware of it, even baffled when we learn about it, frustrated in some way when we try to comprehend it. And it is because we have not come to an understanding of infinity that we are separated from the experience of the divine consciousness in our lives. And so we must now look at infinity in a new way. We must solve the riddle of infinity. You're making out your will to 5 children. And you decide to split your will 5 ways. 1/5 to each child. That's the human way. Or you have a book and you want to lend it to 2 friends. So you first lend it to 1 friend and then to the other, in sequence, not at the same time. Or you have a piece of pie and you have 4 mouths to feed and you cut the pie in quarters, each getting 1 piece. Now God doesn't work that way. Human consciousness does. Divine consciousness doesn't do that at all. Divine consciousness gives all of itself and still has all of itself left. Divine consciousness gives 100% and still has 100% left. If divine consciousness pours its love into you, it has just as much love to give your neighbor. It has just as much love to give everyone and still have all its love left. And so we see the miracle of infinity is quite different than human consciousness. And you see it in a sense, in your own sense of love. You give 1 child all your love. You don't hold any back. And you give the other child all your love. And the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th. And after you've given 100% of your love to one and 100% of your love to another, you still have it to give to the 3rd. And if you give 100% of your love to all 5 children, you don't split it 20% each. And you don't give them 500%. You simply give them all you have. And you still have it because it is not a physical thing. And so we see the basic difference then is that when we give physical things, we have to divide them and we have to give them in sequence. In infinity, this doesn't work that way. And because of it, man has not understood the nature of infinity. When infinity pours, it individualizes the fullness of its own being. You can see that this way. Just as it was not a miracle for you to give all of your love to one and still have just as much left to give to another, it is not a miracle for infinity to be in 2 places at the same time. God is here and God is there. You are in 1 place at a time in your human self. But infinity is everywhere at the same time. And everywhere infinity is, it is infinite. And so we have infinity being infinite everywhere at the same time. And so, because infinity pours its infinite love in 1 place, just as you give your love to a child, it can pour its infinite love in another place at the same time. It can still always have 12 baskets full. And every quality of infinity is the same way. So that right here, where love is, infinite love, also law is, infinite law. And they can both exist in the very same place because they're not physical. So law and love can be in the identical place, harmony can be there, peace can be there, life can be there. Pretty soon you see the picture that infinity is in its fullness everywhere, always. Now once you have caught this, that the fullness of infinity is everywhere, always, what else is there? And so we have infinite life everywhere, always. You see how impossible death would be in the realization of infinite life everywhere, always? Infinity everywhere is alive. Infinity everywhere is loving. Infinity has no opposite. And therefore, when we see death, what are we looking at? We're looking at infinite life, and in our inability to comprehend it, to understand it, to experience it, we see something else that cannot be there because infinite life is there. When you realize the law of infinite life is the only law, you have accepted divine consciousness as being present, infinite divine consciousness. When you understand that infinite love is the law of infinity, then you can look at hate and say, it must be a misperception. When you look at infinite peace and accept it as the law of divine consciousness present, then you know that war must be some form of misperception. Infinite activity, infinitely expressing, is now everywhere as the infinite divine consciousness. And therefore, wherever it is, and it being everywhere, it is unconditioned. It has no opposite, and consequently there can be nothing but infinite love, life, harmony, peace, beauty. And this is the ultimate understanding that you must begin with. For if you do not have this, you're going to accept the opposites of infinity as if they were real. And so now let us return to divine consciousness with the knowledge that it is always present, always functioning, always infinitely expressing, and then you begin to see your mission is to permit this unconditioned infinity to express where you are. That's why you're here tonight. It's also why you're on this so-called earth, to be the place where unconditioned infinity expresses the perfection of the divine consciousness. Be ye perfect as infinity, as the divine consciousness, which is expressing or individualizing itself everywhere in fullness. This you must carry with you always. And when you do, you will very quickly discover the power of it. Because once you have acknowledged the presence of infinity without opposite, you are acknowledging eternal perfection. Eternal perfection is the only truth there is, because divine consciousness is omnipresent. We are acknowledging eternal perfection as the only possibility of divine consciousness. Your God is not in the sky. Your God is the consciousness of God, present now, infinitely expressing everywhere without opposite. And finally, you must, in order to accept and express infinity, you must accept yourself to be infinity individualizing as you. Infinity individualizing as you is a demand. The demand is that eternal perfection is individualizing as your being. And if you would step back and say, well, only God can be perfect, only God can be infinite life, only God can be infinite love and infinite peace and infinite truth, then you're not hearing the words of the Master who says, be ye perfect as your Father. And you're not hearing the word be. We are not being told to become perfect. Be means there's nothing to become perfect. There is a you that already is perfect as your Father. This perfection of the you that already is perfect is not the self you have thought you were. It is another you. There is a you that is perfect as your Father, that is expressing the infinite perfection of God now. And that you was alive before you appeared in this physical form. That you is alive now. That you will be alive when you have laid down this concept of form. And when the Master says, be ye perfect as your Father, that is a command that if you wish to obey, you must be that self now, which was alive before the physical form and which will continue to be alive after the physical form. You must be infinity individualizing as that living self. And this is our seminar to accept this individualization of infinity, this eternal perfection of self. Anything less is a compromise, and you might say an insult, to divine consciousness. Anything less is a rejection of reality, a rejection of selfhood, and an acceptance of a temporary, vulnerable, human sense of life, which has absolutely nothing to do with infinity expressing. Now, over the years, there have been many teachings to teach us how to accept, to live as, to experience that self which is ever alive, that self which is eternally perfect, that self which is the self of you. And the phrase used generally is initiation. It was always a quiet teaching, an underground teaching, something that had to be taught in secret. And the reasons were quite obvious. Always, those initiates who were inducted into the path of initiation had to prove themselves before they were accepted, and had to continue proving themselves. And whether you realize it or not, you have been proving yourself. If you'll try to think back just a little bit, just your decision to come here, to cross the ocean, to be together on a little island in the Pacific, I'm almost willing to bet that 90% of you were challenged by many things. And maybe right up to the time you got on the plane and off the plane, one thing and another came at you and said, you cannot go, or you may not go, or you'll have to sacrifice this if you go, or something or other was standing in the way. This is part of initiation. In initiation, you must prove not only your capacity, but your determination to accept a new way of life. Human life that we think of as human life is nothing more than an initiation. It's an initiation to make you prove your desire to live in the will of the Father, the will which says, be ye perfect as your Father. And your initiation consists of many inner disciplines, a constant path of thorns, a constant series of fires, a constant series of challenges. Always, those who have the inner capacity, the developed capacity, the deep dedication to living in their own perfect self, go through those fires. And the fires are necessary because you can only go through those fires on total trust. Every challenge demands that you trust something you cannot see. And that is the purpose of the fire. Initiation is a preparation through your developed trust to move into higher realms of awareness. These initiations are going to continue, and they will always be honing you down to a finer awareness of your own reality. Now, we started with divine consciousness. We want to reach a point where it isn't something we start with, but it's something we are aware of always. Instead of trying as a human being to become perfect, we are accepting that divine consciousness is the only reality present. That is the supreme challenge. Can you let go of your human consciousness and let divine consciousness be the only consciousness present? I would like to suggest that you do this quite often throughout your daily activities, letting the human consciousness go. accepting only the presence of divine consciousness and trusting it to be all that is present. As you do it now, release your human consciousness. Release your sense awareness. Release your reason and logic and all of the accumulated concepts of an entire lifespan. Release everything you think you are in the human sense. And just float on the sea of divine consciousness. Think of a tree now, just an ordinary tree. Moses had something in mind. He wanted you to see a tree the way you do with this human consciousness. And there are the leaves, and they're converting sunlight into energy. And they're sending energy down the tree. And there are the roots, and they're converting water and minerals into something they send up the tree. And there's a process going on in that tree. It's a complete manufacturing plant. It's not limited to just the trunk. There's a great underground laboratory. And up in the sky, the sun is shining to help that tree. The rain is coming down to help that tree. The air, the water, the sunshine, and the earth itself are all going to be fused into a force, bioforce. And that force is going to send this new force in a substance up the tree, through the trunk. This invisible active force is sending that sap up the tree, and there's a pipeline in the trunk. The activity is down and up, from the leaves down and from the trunk, from the roots up. And nothing in this tree can be fed except it follows a sequence. It can't go directly to the leaf. At the outermost twig, it must go through the trunk, through the branch, a chain of command. It has nothing to do with a human brain. No human mind figured it out. And finally, there's a leaf, and there's a bud, and there's a fruit. And then the fruit dies. And then the leaves are gone in the winter. And then there's the process all over again. There's a complete regeneration in this factory. And we see the same thing in the human body. And then Moses says, "You're looking at a marvel, aren't you? But there's death in it. It ends in death and regeneration." Moses is saying, "I know another tree. This marvel that you see is only the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I know a mystical tree, a tree of life." And Moses is teaching initiation. He's teaching that we can find another life which does not end in death and regeneration. Another life that does not depend upon those qualities or substances that a tree depends upon. And then we learn he's not really talking about a tree at all. He's using it as a symbol. Because there is no such tree as a tree of knowledge, a tree of good and evil. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of human life. And if he's talking about a mystical tree, which is a tree of life, which is an invisible tree, he's also telling us that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the human sense of life, is really the tree of death. He's telling us that there are two trees. There's a mortal tree, but there is an immortal tree, a tree of life. And when Jesus becomes the master teacher on earth, the greatness of that demonstration is that instead of Moses telling us about a tree of life, Jesus is demonstrating the actual tree itself, living it, showing us how to be the tree of life. Many have said, why didn't Jesus speak more plainly? Why didn't he tell us the truth? He did. We just didn't want to hear it. When he said this world isn't here, we didn't want to hear that. When he said your human body isn't God's creation, we didn't want to hear that. When he said your human life isn't God's creation, that was not important to us. We didn't hear those words. And the reason we didn't hear them is because we were too busy. If we listened at all to his teaching, it wasn't to find out what he wanted to teach us. We listened to find out what we wanted to learn. We went to the teaching to find out how we could improve living in what we think is the creation of God. We were interested in this tree of knowledge of good and evil. We went to the teaching of truth, not with the idea of saying, teach me what you want me to learn, but rather, here's what's on my mind, now what can you teach me about it? Here's my body. I'm interested in the health of it. And here's my child. I'm interested in the health of that child's body. And here's my family. I'm interested in my family and its health and its security. And there are a lot of other things that I am interested in. Teach me these things. Teach me how to live so that I feel successful. Teach me how to attain my human goals. Teach me how to avoid pain and afflictions. But that wasn't the teaching of Jesus Christ at all. He was teaching initiation. He was initiating us into the method whereby we can live here, now, in the creation of God. In the mystical tree of life. We simply weren't listening for his teaching. The world that is not here, the kingdom that is not this world, that kingdom is the mystical tree of life. That self of you which lives in the creation of God now, is not this self that appears as your human self. He gave us initiation. And when we begin to open our eyes to the words of initiation, with the knowledge that the purpose of the Christ teaching is to show you how to live in the knowledge of your infinite self, expressing the infinite qualities of God, living eternally in your true state of perfection, then you understand why he said, "Be perfect as your Father." The mystical tree of life in paradise, in divine consciousness, has been awaiting your recognition. It is your divine life, your only life, your now life. And we are not going to become it. We are going to drop the illusion of a second life. And so today, our first step is, my divine consciousness is the only consciousness that I can have. The partition between divine consciousness and human consciousness only exists because I have accepted a human consciousness. When I have no human consciousness, there is no partition. When I have no human consciousness, I am not saying there is a God who is here, a divine consciousness that is here. There is not infinity here and a limited human consciousness. Infinity is now expressing, and you must learn to trust it as the actual only presence at all times. Here, today, now, and forever, only the qualities of infinity are expressing in their fullness. You cannot be finite any longer. You must live in the knowledge of infinite being as your being. Just as you give all your love to one and still have all your love to give to another, you must accept that every quality of infinity is here infinitely expressing. You must give God, divine consciousness, the identical capacities that you have accepted for your sense of love, your sense of truth. You cannot shorten the arm of divine consciousness. Now, the acknowledgement of this is power. To dwell in it, to accept no second, to trust no matter what the appearance, to live creatively in the knowledge that infinity is always where you are, leads only to one conclusion. Your initiation into one infinite self as your only being. Now, this may be something you're going to have to develop over a period of 9 classes in order to begin to open up to the acceptance that you are one infinite self. But I wish you to know that the underground movements that have been on this earth have been a spiritual underground simply because it is almost impossible to teach one infinite self as your identity to those who have had no preparation. It was taught on this earth. And wherever it was understood and accepted, a transition was made from the false tree of death to the eternal tree of life. You must realize that the teaching of Christ Jesus did not fail. And because it was recorded in the gospel and not recognized, does not change the fact that it is still there. It could not be spoken in words that human minds would understand. You cannot teach one infinite self, I am now, and there is no other, to those who have had no prior training, no preparation, no willingness through the years to change into a totally different kind of life. And as a result, there was no way that this could be communicated. Even the gospel writers, when they finally put the words in of the Father into the Bible, they wrote from the knowledge of God, but there was no way to say what you and I are talking about in these simple words. They had to say it in a way that would not inflame the local powers. Even Jesus Christ had to speak in such a way. When he spoke truth, nobody heard him. And when somebody finally seemed to understand enough, isn't that what led to crucifixion? And so the gospel writers too, they were forced to pen their phrases a certain way. But they concealed initiation on every page. It just happened that when they wrote of initiation into the tree of life, into the self that is ever alive, the translators of the Bible were not always men of God, like the writers. And so you have a sequence from the Aramaic to the Greek to the Latin to the Vulgate, finally to history, theology, morality, everything except the message of spirit being infinite without opposite and the only. And now it's time to thaw out all those codes. The underground is no underground for us. It's time to look at all that spiritual shorthand in the Bible with eyes that refuse to dilute and to compromise. We want to see that when Moses speaks of a mystical tree of life, he's telling us that we're not living in it now. When Jesus teaches initiation and phrases it rebirth, he's talking about coming out of the sense of life that is not permanent, out of the false tree, into the mystical tree of life. And now we want to walk that path and lay aside everything that obstructs our entry into living here and now in the divine creation. Our work no longer is to, in any way, settle for human betterment. Our work is totally to live in the mystical tree of life, where there are 12 fruits, and where the fruits are every month, meaning where infinity is ever expressing. We are told that he who overcomes will be given the tree of life. And the way we're going to be given it is to accept it. No one's going to walk up to us and put it in our hands. The Father has already bequeathed the tree of life to you as your life. We want to walk out of here at the termination of this seminar with a conviction that I am eternal life, that I am the divine consciousness. The human consciousness is not me. The human body is not me. The human life is not me. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. That means a great deal of work. And it means a great deal of trust. And it means a constant awareness that all that is ever present is divine consciousness. The moment you break that, the tree of life has been rejected. Self has been rejected. The world has already done that breaking. The world has fallen from the tree of life by the simple knowledge of the fact that God is not all. That knowledge that God is not all is the fall. That is the division. That is the house divided that must always fall. And your return to the Father's house is the knowledge that you have never left. Now, when you do this, you're not going to succeed just instantly, but your preparation has already given you a basis, a foundation, so that not only in the past year that we have studied together, but in every challenge that you have undergone, you have developed a capacity to trust an invisible force. You see, infinity, individualizing, is a permanent force. It's the force that is ever working. And unless you are aware of it working, functioning perfectly, you walk away from that force. Or you ignore that force. Or in many cases, you even oppose that force. But it's always working. It's Niagara Falls and Lake Erie all over again. There's always the force of Lake Erie flowing into the falls and becoming the falls. And there's always the infinite self individualizing its own infinity everywhere in perfection. And whether you see it or not, it's always happening. And your knowledge that it is happening must be your trust. Your life is always being perfect. Your harmony is always infinitely present. And you are always infinitely present. Now we're stressing infinity because the world has ignored infinity and we have ignored infinity and we cannot do it anymore. The hour has come to live in the conscious awareness that infinity is all that is here. There is no second. Everything that is contrary to infinite perfection must now be recognized as a form of hypnotism. It cannot exist in the presence of infinity, which is present. And so you have another life. And until you start acknowledging it, the fruits of it cannot express. You cannot be perfect as your Father until you are living in your other life, which already is perfect as your Father. You cannot lay down this form and walk into life eternal unless you are living in the conscious awareness of life eternal now as your reality. Divine consciousness is here now. Human consciousness is not here. This is surrender. This is the absence of a human self. And only those who are ready can accept the challenge. Presumably, we are all ready. And we will be challenged again and again each moment of our lives, because we are going to walk consciously in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, here. It was very necessary for you to be on this earth in your present form, and also to know that your soul is learning things it must know. It must learn what is not God's creation. It must learn what is not God's creation in order to know what is God's creation. It's really no different than a child putting his finger on a flame. We must learn what is not the creation of God, and everything that dies is not the creation of God. Everything that decays, everything that is finite, this world is not the creation of God. You must learn this in order to live in the creation of God. You must go through non-creation, knowing it is non-creation, and substituting where non-creation appears the knowledge of creation being present as the infinite expression of infinity itself. You must learn to cooperate, to flow with the infinite force of perfection that is on this earth. It's almost a crucifixion. But it's not a crucifixion on a tree. It's a crucifixion of a self that is not going to live forever, and the acceptance of a self that is already eternal. It's the initiation that mankind has not been taught, but which every page of the Bible teaches to those who are willing to look at the spiritual shorthand that is there and to write it out in longhand and to see it as saying, be eternal as your Father. Be the life of your Father. Be the spirit of your Father. Turn away from all that is not who you are, and you will be that living tree which is called the tree of life. You are that tree. And only when you accept yourself to be the tree of life can divine consciousness flow through and as you. It only flows through the tree of life. And until you are the tree of life, you are in a state of fallen from the tree or separated from the tree, and there is still a partition. the qualities of divine consciousness only flow through the tree of life. The living child of God. The eternal life of God. This Mylai lay given to me tonight is a symbol. But it's going to be our symbol not of a human marriage, but of a mystical marriage. A marriage in which you are wedded to the divine consciousness. Only that self which accepts itself as the life, the divine consciousness itself, can say, I and the Father are one. And only that one which is one with divine consciousness has returned to the Father's house. The mystery of infinity is the greatest mystery there is. And the solution of it contains the solution to everything in your life that you have wanted to improve. But it goes far beyond that improvement. It takes you into your own real life, here and now, which is perfect. I want to review it. I want to establish it so firmly that whatever comes at you in the way of a challenge, if it's something in this human life that says, how can I live without a companion? How can I cope with this problem that I am trying to keep from the world, which is in my family? How can I this and how can I that? Please, don't hit your problems from that level at all. But accept the presence of infinity. As always present, without opposite. Nothing finite exists, including your human self. There is no problem except the problem of not knowing that only infinity is here. And when you accept infinity here, you must release the belief in the existence of the problem. And all of us who have done this know that the experience is always rewarding. But now, we're not doing it for the purpose of eliminating the problem. We're doing it for the purpose of demonstrating infinity. That's all we're here to do. We're here to show that the place whereon you stand, where I stand, where he stands, and her and she stands, infinity is there. And if you have to walk through the Holy Land, restoring everything that comes to your attention, to show that infinity is there, that is your mission.